This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad you've been with us, SB Nation AM. I am Tony D alongside Ron Culver. Last week, Kawhi Leonard was traded to the Toronto Raptors. I started thinking about this, right? You're Kawhi Leonard. You want to go to the Lakers. You had the Spurs kind of had your fate in their hand. So they trade you. They didn't trade you to the Lakers. The Lakers really didn't offer much to even start a really good conversation. Reports are that you're disgruntled that you're being traded to Toronto. Now, let me ask you this. Why would you be disgruntled? All right, it's Toronto. Maybe you want the sunshine of L.A. Maybe you didn't get your way on this. But you didn't have control over this, right? Spurs certainly talked to Los Angeles. They probably wanted a lot for you. You're a top five player on both sides of the ball. The Lakers probably didn't want to give up too much because they know that you're going to eventually come there anyway. So why do that? So you take your year and you go to Toronto. It's not like they shipped you to Charlotte or shipped you to Atlanta. You get to go play for one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, take a year, play for the Raptors, win 50 games, become the number one seed in the East, go through the postseason, no LeBron, go to the NBA Finals. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe your team's better than Golden State for four nights out of the seven. Probably not, but you never know. It's a crazy game. Maybe you beat Houston. Who knows? But you give it a shot. You might end up with a ring out of this. At least you'll have a good shot at winning the Eastern Conference or playing the finals. Now, again, I get it. All of us, when you're talking about job moves and what your dream is, sometimes we get disgruntled. I wanted X. I ended up with Y. I'm not happy with Y. But if you're Kawhi Leonard, go to Toronto. Make the best of this. You couldn't go to L.A. on your own anyway. You needed help. You needed the Spurs. You needed the Lakers to come to an agreement. They didn't come to an agreement. If you're going to go, you're going to go next year. But while you've got this 1 year where you got to play for the Raptors, don't be disgruntled. Just take it as an opportunity to win a title or at least compete for a title because the West is so strong. And go with that. No need to cry in your cereal. Go play for Toronto and like it. It'll be good.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
777-2907. Your thoughts on Tiger Woods this weekend? And by the way, as I said earlier at the top of the hour, if you're Kawhi Leonard, do you just suck it up and be happy? All right, I'm good. I'm in Toronto. I'm not going to be in Toronto forever. I'll go get my LA dream next. Or do you have to whine and cry? By the way, Masai Ujiri is now saying he miscommunicated with DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, you think? Come on, stop using miscommunicated. If you told a guy you weren't going to trade him, that's not miscommunicating. That's flat out giving him a falsehood. That's not miscommunicate. You know what miscommunicating is? Miscommunicating is like in my house, where my wife says, I'm going to the store to pick up a few things, and then comes home with bags and bags and bags of stuff. It's not a few things. It's bags and bags of stuff. That's miscommunication. Or when I say, I'm going to be out, I'll be home around 9, and I walk in the door at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's miscommunicating. Miscommunicating is not telling a guy who is wondering if he's going to be traded that he's not going to be traded. Now, Masai Ujiri is kind of using like a little GM speak. And by the way, full disclosure, I love Masai Ujiri. I covered him with the Nuggets. He always came on the shows I was doing. He was a great guy. But this is wrong. If the only thing you care about is whether... It's like... All right, okay. if you work at a company that's going through layoffs, right? And you go to your boss and you say, hey man, I'm hearing things of a company. I'm wondering if I'm going to get laid off. The only thing you care about is whether or not you are getting laid off, right? Are you getting laid off? If afterwards you get laid off and you say to your boss, hey man, I thought you told us we weren't getting laid off. And your boss says, oh no, no, I was talking about the overall economic structure of the company and where we were globally in sort of an international market and where our stock was compared to our competitors. And there may needed to be some adjustments in all of the economics that were the ebb and flow of the company that we're doing, given what we were putting out and what we were getting in terms of revenue and what our sales strategy needed to be in the forecast for the next 4 years. You have every right to say, I don't care about any of that. I can't believe you and I had that conversation. I just wanted to know if I was getting a pink slip or not. And you're now telling me that you kind of told me I was in some sort of weird way. That's the excuse Masai Ujiri is using. DeMar DeRozan's camp. Are we going to get traded? Masai Ujiri. Well, overall, we're trying to do what's best for the team and sort of this feeling out the luxury tax and where we are and trying to be competitive in an ever-changing NBA, blah, 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 blah. So DeMar DeRozan's like, wait, you lied to me. And Masai Ujiri's like, nah, I'm sorry. It was a miscommunication. Well played.
You think about it. It's like, how hard would it be to just come back and say, you know what, DeMar DeRozan, I said, yeah, I told you I wasn't going to trade you. You're absolutely right. They just made me an offer. I couldn't, you know, and they made me. They made me the Godfather offer.
That's what you say. You're absolutely right. And you just fall on that sword. And because when you fall on that sword, it's quick, right?
Yeah, it's quick. It's painless. It makes all the sense in the world. It's like, all right, you know,
and you can sell it. And you can sell it to the public.
You know, feel bad. DeMar can feel bad. Like, bummer, but I get that, you know, this is a business first. It's not entertainment. It's business.
Yeah.
And there's no loyalties in business.
Go to the Raptor fans and you can say, you know, if the Raptor fans are going, hey, well, you told them you weren't going to trade. I'm like, wait. Yeah, but I didn't know at that time that we would be offered one of the top five players in the league when he's healthy. We got this offer for one of the top five players. He is an upgrade, people. He is an upgrade. You love DeMar DeRozan? I get it. He's good with the community, signs your autographs. He loves Toronto. He loves Toronto like you love Toronto. I get it. But he is not Kawhi Leonard when he's healthy. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best offensive and defensive players in the league. And you know what? At the time, I had no idea, none, that we would be offered that kind of loot for DeMar DeRozan's services. So, unfortunately, I did not tell him the truth. But my circumstances changed. And I could not bypass it. So I was not going to give this up. I was not going to give this chance up because I needed to stay to my word to DeMar DeRozan. We were going to trade him. It's too important. It's too big of a deal for our organization. I would not be truthful to you as a fan, you as a season ticket holder. My job is to put the best team on the field as court as I possibly can. Kawhi Leonard healthy is the best team I can put together. And if it costs us DeMar DeRozan, it is. That's sellable. That's long-winded, but it's sellable. Miscommunicated. I'm going to start using that terminology.
I forbid it.
Yeah. I think now in the future. Well, my wife and I have this thing now where like I'll say something and I'll say, I'll go, well, I told you that. And she'll say, no, you didn't. And I'll say, yes, I did. You just never listen to me when I tell you stuff. And I think this is a ticket for me to get out of trouble, but it isn't a ticket to get out of trouble.
Just start saying trouble. Miscommunicated. We must have miscommunicated with each other.
I must have said, oh, didn't I tell you I was playing golf on Saturday with Mike? No, you didn't. Oh, I must have miscommunicated that to you. Did I tell you that I was not going to be free for all the household chores on Saturday? I was going to be participating in a game, participating in a recreational activity with my friend for 5 hours? No, you didn't. Well, I must have told you that I was going to be outdoors in the sunshine, walking through a field of grass, hitting a particular item with a stick for 5 hours. No, you didn't. Well, then you must have misheard, or I must have miscommunicated. I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to work, but I'm going to try it. It's worth a shot.
Hey, if it works for politicians and it works for, you know, NBA owners,
yeah,
it could work for you.
I got a nickname for my wife, by the way. I call her Lori the Saturday Killer. Because there's nothing worse when she's bored and goes, oh, I got 100 things we can do around here. Sometimes I just want to lay and do nothing. I just want to do nothing. But if she's got idle hands, she's like, oh, guess what we're doing today?
You know, like yesterday, I mean, after I woke up, you know, feeling like a college kid waking up afternoon, I had all the attentions in the world to do chores. You know, it's like, the kids are out of the house. Everyone's
out. Oh, yeah, you're getting stuff done.
I can take care of this. Man, I ended up watching, I got stuck watching Star Wars.
Star Wars. The newer one or good old ones?
They were just doing a marathon. It was watching the end of Empire led right into Return.
Oh, cool. So you watched that and did you say to yourself, boy, The Last Jedi is just a good piece of work, good piece of cinema after
Always
watching
do.
These two films.
I'm not a hater like you, Tony.
I don't get it.
I'm not a hater.
Don't get it.
No, but what I liked about how they, I will give it, I don't remember what station I was watching or what TV channel I was watching. But I liked how they were doing their marathon because after Return, it went right to Force Awakens.
Oh, good
and
job!
I'm like, well done. I get what you're doing. You're ignoring the prequels. That's fine.
That's good. Well done. Well done. Whoever did that, whatever station did that, well done. Good luck. That was great. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. You know what? This was the cool thing. Yesterday, I will say, my wife just left me alone on Sunday. Morning and late in the afternoon, not late in the afternoon because it was over pretty early, but I got to watch the British Open in peace. She said, for driving 14 hours to get my car from New Jersey back to Nashville all in one day, leave you alone. You don't have to do anything. She's like, I'll do some stuff. She goes,
so you're going to drive to Jersey next weekend too, aren't you?
Really? I'm like, wow. I'm like, where can I? Wow. That was really, it was the life, man. It was great.
Next big college Saturday. You're like, hey, honey, I've got to do a thing. I'm going to take off work on Friday. I got to drive, fly to Jersey on Thursday. What do you need from Jersey?
Yeah, what do you need from Jersey?
Drive back all day Friday. So you have your Saturday clear to watch. There's like four big games I want to watch.
Oh, it's the best.
Take the kids and run.
Although I was like mentally breaking down while I was driving. At one point I realized, because I know it's a 14-hour drive, I got to the eighth hour of the trip and I was already done. I was already like, I can't do this anymore. It's like, I got another 6 hours to go. And you ever drive cross country and it's just the same scenery?
Yep.
Over and over. It's just
Iowa.
Like this one lengthy, I love the views of Tennessee, but there's a stretch on I-40 from Knoxville that is just, you just lose yourself in the repetition of it all.
No, I agree. I don't know how anyone lives in Iowa.
I don't either.
The entire state of Iowa, I can't remember if it was 80 or 90, I-80 or I-90. You're driving through the entire state of Iowa. It is the same exact thing. It's just cornfield for days. And then every once in a while, there's a water tower with that smiley face on it. And I think it's just mocking me.
That's exactly right.
I'm like, I'm going to drive this car into that smiley tower right now because, no, I am not happy. I've been looking at corn for the last 100 miles. And all I can see in front of me is more corn.
Right. More corn. I did this. I do that in Kansas when I was driving through Kansas. By the way, if you're a truck driver out there, God bless you. That's hard. It's tough. God bless you.
Because much respect.
Much respect. I couldn't do it. I'm glad you're doing it. It keeps the country rolling. I do have one question. On a 2-lane highway, when you get one truck that's trying to pass the other truck and he's not quite able to do it and you just clog both lanes, is there a gentleman's agreement that one of the trucks is just going to back off? So you can get back in the lane, or is it just like, nah, we'll just stay like this for the next 60 miles.
I think there's supposed to be a gentleman's agreement, but I do believe that they get bored sometimes. And when one truck's trying to pass the other, they kind of look at each other, give that look, that eye.
Yeah. Say, like, we're going to close down this highway.
We're drag racing.
Yeah. And no one's getting past us.
we're just going to cruise. He's like, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of cars behind us. Going to be all mad. And then they go and they'll have beers at a truck stop and laugh about it.
And laugh at us. Laugh at all of us as we're driving behind them going, oh, why can't you just... No. I guess I saw way too many of that. I saw way too much of that to make me think that it's just another truck going, I'm trying the best I can. I can't get past this other guy. I saw so much of that I went, there's got to be something going on. These guys have got to be coordinating this.
I do think they take turns because I know that if, there's cost-saving measures in it. You can save on fuel. And because like race cars, how you drag.
Oh, yeah, like you draft, yeah.
You draft. And I mean, you can do trucks will do that as well. It's like, that's why you always see like lines of them. And they're all kind of just drafting.
Point.
So, like, the other guys we'll save on fuel for a little bit. Then one takes the lead and, you know, gives the other guy a break.
And is it too much to ask that, you know, these state rest stops, some of them, I mean, some of them are nice, but some of them are filthy. Some of them are just downright filthy. Is it too much to ask to have somebody there to clean up bathrooms and the rest areas? I mean, some of them are just terrible.
California kind of is changing their ways. I mean, there's still some, you know, ones that I wouldn't wish an enemy to go into, but there are some nice ones. So far in Texas, having lived here and having hit a couple, man, I could hang out there.
Yeah, some of them are nice. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are real nice. Like, you could hang out there for a while. I did one where I just sat at a picnic table for a while just to get my bearings. Some of them are beautiful.
But I think the problem is most people choose truck stops now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Walk around. There's like arcades and TVs and restaurants.
Yeah, and by the way,
mini mall.
And I found out on this trip that the snack combination of Swedish fish and chocolate milk don't work. Doesn't work at all. Not a good combination.
I could have told you that. That's an odd combo, man.
Nah, I know.
That's a bad taste in your mouth, Tony.
I like the Swedish fish candy. I bought a bag, and then I was looking for something to drink, and I didn't want a soda, and I don't know why I went for the chocolate milk. I went for the chocolate milk, and I got in the car, and I went, what the hell am I doing with these two items? Well, let's see if we can make this work. It didn't work at all. One had to go before the other. It just did not work at all. So that was my little trip.
That's a pro tip right there for all you guys driving out there.
Swedish fish and chocolate milk don't work.
Truckers know that. That's right. Rule of the road. That's probably rule number two.
They're laughing at me right now.
Rule number one, block the cross-country travelers.
Yep.
Behind you. That's rule number one. Rule number two is no Swedish fish and chocolate milk.
That doesn't work. Not at all. 800-777-2907. All right, coming up, a trade in football that I'm kind of interested in seeing how it plays out next.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, raise your hand out there. Well, don't take your hand off the wheel, but raise your hand out there if you thought Johnny Manziel was going to make it in the NFL. All right, not very many people raising their hands. I get it. But he could make it in the CFL now. Did you hear about this, Ron, that he's been traded to the Montreal Alouettes?
Have they even played yet?
Yeah, they have five games. He was with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I know nothing of the CFL. I really should bone up on my CFL.
And so they have an extra long touchdown.
Yes.
End zone.
And is everything in Canada in the metric system? Do they just keep it at yards?
I think in points too, it's in the metric system.
In the metric system, so like touchdown is like 10.7
right?
points.
I don't know.
You can't run
a touchdown. You can't have like a 80-yard touchdown.
I always wondered that in golf. I mean, is there stuff like when you go to the Canadian Open, you have to convert to meters? And if you don't, here's the deal: if you're not going to use meters for football and golf, then what the hell do you have the metric system for anyway? I mean, just use it for everything. I mean, if you're going to use it for mileage on the road, it's going to be kilometers or any other distances or whatever. Use it for everything.
I know, don't you find it odd? We're literally like the last country not to convert to the metric system.
Yeah, I know.
We'll dictate.
Yeah, we'll tell them.
The sports world.
Yeah. If you want to play football in your country, it better be yards.
Olympics, it's in meters.
Well, yeah,
we give them the Olympics. So every 4 years, we let them play with their funny little metric system.
All right, so... All right, so Johnny Manziel got traded to the Montreal Alouettes. And now he has a chance to start because he was the backup to the quarterback at Hamilton. And now he gets a chance to start. I don't know. I mean, remember we talked about Tiger and he has this kind of third act, right? He was very, very popular. Then he kind of went through hell for a while and now he's kind of coming back. That's too short of a window for Johnny Manziel, right? Is that too short? To start saying, like, there was this real level of popularity where he won the Heisman Trophy and he was the most exciting player in college football. Then he had some addiction problems. He was in the NFL and it didn't last very long. Then he was out of the game for a while. Now he's kind of trying to get back into the game. And are we on the upswing with wanting to see him redeemed in some way in the CFL? Or are we just kind of watching like we would watch any other potential car wreck disaster? Maybe they'll get through it, but maybe they'll crash and it'll be kind of interesting to see.
I think with Johnny, we're hoping for the car wreck disaster. And, you know, I mean, it's just terrible to say. I mean, we should be hoping nothing for the best for the guy. But at the same time, we're, you know, there's like, oh, we want that cocky, arrogant kid who thought he was on top of the world and ha ha, you weren't. As opposed to Tiger, where, there was part of us that was like, ah, you know, Tiger, you know, what thought of himself as a king, basically, an emperor, if you will. And, you know, but I think now, like, now that he's humbled himself and gone through this whole mess, most of us are like, ah, Tiger, we just want you to win one more time.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I don't think with Johnny Manziel, we don't have, like, there's nothing else we can give him. With Johnny Manziel, there's nothing, like, he can't go back to college and win a second Heisman Trophy. He never had any success on the professional level. So it's not like we're rooting for old times. Old times would be playing against Alabama. He can't do that again. And so old times would be, I guess, getting back to the NFL and doing something else besides what he did, which is not much. But I'll tell you, though, I didn't think Johnny Manziel, this is my thoughts on Manziel, and I was taking the safe route when people asked me if I thought he was going to make it in the NFL. And I hated this answer at the time because I felt like I should have been more concrete. I should have said, nope, he has no chance. Or, yep, I think he's going to be a star. I basically said, look, I think Johnny Manziel is going to come onto the NFL and he's going to do really well. He's going to be explosive and he's going to do some things and he's going to excite people and it's going to be fun. And then there's going to be a period of time where it's not going to be fun, where he's not going to be able to do those things anymore. Maybe because defenses catch up to him and there's enough film now to figure out how to do it. And then it's going to be really bad. When he gets shut down, it's going to be really, really bad. But it's going to be fun for a while. But then he'll never get it back. There won't be an adjustment that he can make to get it back. And then his career will fizzle out. So it'll be short. It'll be exciting. It'll be very disappointing, but it'll be very compact. And you'll be done with him within 3 or 4 years. I had no idea he wouldn't even get to that point where he could develop into anything. I mean, that was it. I mean, it was quick. And I know he was on a bad team, and I get it, and we're all kind of watching Baker Mayfield now, if wondering if that's going to be the same deal. But the reality is, I mean, he didn't even get a chance to do anything before he started making problems.
And I think the other factor into it too is that he was never going to be the face of his sport.
Nah, that was the other thing. You're right.
Tiger was the face of golf. Tiger was golf.
Yeah, he was never going to.
That was your dad's sport, and Tiger made it cool for kids to watch.
Yeah, like Nike created a whole like golf division based on the fact that they had Tiger Woods. They could get Tiger Woods. Yeah. I mean, think about this. It goes beyond that, too, because this is another thing. I'm a golfer, and I pay attention to the industry a little bit, and I've read more articles about golf in decline, right? But it goes back to that bubble I was talking about. Well, maybe golf was just super high, and now it's coming back to where it kind of really should have been the whole time. But there was a period of time, because you saw them pop up all over the place. There were golf communities, houses around new golf courses. So all these people would buy these homes near golf courses. What happened? Well, people stopped playing. The game became expensive. We kind of went through a housing recession. And now these homes that are on golf courses aren't looking over a majestic seventh hole of an uphill par five with a beautiful pond. They're looking over weeds. They're looking over a desolate area that no one can take care of anymore. It's just land now. It can't be mowed. It's not going to be taken care of. Right? The sport is closing all these golf courses. There's golf courses being closed all the time in the country. And I read enough to go, okay, there are two sides to that equation. One, we should have never built that many golf courses to begin with. The demand wasn't really that great as people thought. Or two, maybe Tiger's impact was so strong that people really thought that they'd be playing golf for the rest of their lives. They loved watching him. They wanted to check it out. They checked it out. They bought new clubs. They got some memberships. They were playing a while. But like anything else, the fad went away and it disappeared from a lot of people. Maybe it was just too time consuming. Maybe it was too expensive. Maybe their kids weren't into it. It was something that the family couldn't really do. Maybe it was too hard, or maybe it was too frustrating, and they were just getting tired of going out there for 4 hours and being just kind of not having a good time. Whatever it was, it killed a lot of the game. But there is no doubt that those housing communities and golf courses that were being built all in the 90s and the early 2000s, yeah, there was real estate ideas and investment, I get all that, but a lot of it had to do with the growing of the game around Tiger Woods. There's no other athlete that does that. There's no other athlete that did that. And you're right about Manziel. He was never going to be the face of the sport. It was just a fun aspect of it, but he was never going to be the face of it.
Back to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So did you find yourself rooting for Tiger Woods over the weekend? 800-777-2907. If not, who did you root for? We'll talk British Open as we continue. It's just about Tiger. I mean, really, that's what it was. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. You can hit Ron up at Twitter, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. 800-777-2907. Riley Auto Parts has highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals. They'll help you find the parts you need and get the job done right for the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get back on the road fast. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. By the way, I had a situation about my car. Remember I told you I took a 14-hour trip from New Jersey to Tennessee on Saturday with my wife's car? So I got off the plane, and I took an Uber to where the car was located at my cousin's house, who was out of town. I got the key and got in the car. And I started driving, and I was heading out, and it was late. And a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, she said, you could stay at our house for the night. So I was heading over there, and I was hungry, and I was like, I hadn't eaten. So I was like, all right, I know that this McDonald's restaurant is open late near my town where I used to live. I said, I'll go there. So I pulled into the drive-thru, and it was close to midnight, and they closed at midnight. So I know I was catching them pretty late. And I get to the drive-thru window, and I pay, and I'm waiting for my food, and it's taking a while. They're cleaning like crazy. They've got everything taken down, and they're putting stuff away. And so I know the food's getting made in the back. So I put the car in park, and I sat and waited for my food. So the food comes, and I grab the bag, and I say thanks. And I go to put the car in drive, and I can't put the car in drive. I press the brake pedal. I'm trying. It's stuck. So the shifter is stuck in park. I mean, it's not only stuck, it's locked into park. And I can't get it out. It's my wife's car, so I don't know if there's a trick to this. So I call her up. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. She says it's never happened to her before. And I'm a little nervous because, Ron, I'm stuck at the drive-thru window. And therefore, cars behind me can't get to the drive-thru window. So I have to tell the woman, I'm sorry, I can't move my car. I was like, I cannot get it out of park. So they're like, okay, there's nothing, you can't even get it in a neutral. And as I can't move it. I was like, it's stuck in park. So they send somebody outside, and they're delivering food to the cars behind them, and they're moving off and they're disappearing. So I'm waiting. I don't know what to do. I'm getting like nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I'm stuck at this drive-thru window. I don't know what to do. I need to start calling people. Now it's getting late, and right, it's getting really late. Like, my friends are asleep. I don't know what to do. So the manager, you could tell she was like, I got to get you out of here. Like, you can't just leave your car here. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know. And she's like, yeah, we got to tow it. Yeah, like, you're going to have to get it towed.
You can't be blocking the window.
Yeah. Like,
people
like
need
even
to get their fries, man.
They're gonna, and plus, they're going to be open at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to need that window open for everybody's coffee and McMuffins or whatever they're going to eat. So she's telling me, she's like, I got AAA. I can help you. She goes, I don't know if that's going to work or not. I'm like, let me call a tow company. I'm getting nervous because like people are telling me this could be your transmission fluid. I mean, there could be 100 things. And I'm thinking, I don't want to stay here for the weekend. Like, with my car is getting repaired. Like, I need to get home. So we call a tow company, and the guy on the phone, oh, by the way, a cop comes by. I mean, he's taking my license and information because it's a mess, and I'm embarrassed. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, so, because you're at this point now where you almost feel like you have to turn in your man card. It's like,
right.
I can't drive a car.
I can't. My car is stuck in park. I can't even get it out of park. And they're like rolling their eyes at me like, oh, yeah, sure. All right. Whatever. So I'm nervous because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't know how I'm going to get home. I'm like, what if I'm stuck here for a couple of days? You know, sometimes major repairs are like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, I've had that happen.
You know, where you just dropped the car
outside,
off.
I got stuck outside of Vegas once.
Oh, how long were you stuck outside of Vegas?
3 days. It wasn't even in Vegas. I mean, we broke down. This is when I was in high school, and we're driving across the country. We broke down like 2 hours past Vegas. And so the nearest town closer to us was Mesquite, Nevada.
Oh, I've been to Mesquite, yeah.
And we were there, I think, for 3 days.
Wow. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. It's like, well, I've got some friends. I'll try to wake them up. And I'll sleep on their couch. I know there's a place that will fix. I know the place, there's a auto shop down the road from here. I know that. I'll have them tow it there. So I call the tow company. The guy says, really nice. He says, I can't get it out of park. I said, I just can't get it out of park. It's stuck. I've tried everything. I can't get it out. He goes, all right, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'm going to send a guy out there to you. He goes, he might be able to get you out of park. He goes, it's $125 when I send the guy out, regardless of how, if we tow you or not. I don't care. Here's my credit card. I just send somebody. This kid comes out. He's there. He shows up late, but it's fine. He shows up. He's got a screwdriver in his hand. And I'm like, at that moment, I know that I'm going to get out of this. He pops this little thing, little knob, pops it. He sticks the screwdriver in the hole, and boom, it just jams it out. So he tells me, he goes, well, your pin's broken. That's fixable. Just take it when you get back to Tennessee. But from now on, when you drive, you got to stick something in that slot, move the pin out of park. That took him 30 seconds, and it cost me $125. Now, is this something I should have known or not? Would this been a reasonable repair? Because here's my problem. I've told this story now, Ron, to about 5 people. And every single one of them has said, oh, yeah, you just popped that. And as if there's some sort of like NASCAR mechanic.
Tony, everyone knows about the pin beneath the mysterious
hatch. Button on the hat. Yeah, exactly.
Everyone
knows
about that.
I felt like I did. I felt like an idiot. I felt like I should have taken some sort of mechanics class in college or something. So I know these basic hacks. Like everybody was in on it but me. But
you didn't Google it? I'm surprised you didn't Google it.
Well,
there's probably a YouTube
video. We did.
There's probably 10 YouTube videos on, but you didn't know what it was. You didn't
know
about the pin.
I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't know about the pin. My wife sent me some that I just couldn't get enough data to access YouTube videos.
It's all pixelated.
Oh, God, yes.
Every third word you're picking up.
Like loading. Couldn't fix it.
I think he told me to take apart the engine.
Yeah.
I can't make this out.
The worst was, one of the guys was like, man, it could be your transmission. Your whole transmission could be shot. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've had that happen. It cost me like $4,000. I was like, no chance. I was like, at this point, I'm thinking to myself, if that car needs a new transmission, it is staying in New Jersey.
And so all he did is because I want to know for future, is that little cap where it tells you the direction, like, where your drive neutral?
Yep, it was on the right side. It was park, blah blah. There was a little. I didn't even notice what it was. It just was a little cap. He popped that thing open, stuck that thing in there. Boom, moved it.
Yeah, see, I'm keeping tabs on this.
I did it the whole ride down.
So I know what happens
every time I parked that car. But here's the thing: every time I stopped, no matter where I stopped. Okay. No matter where I stopped, rest area, gas, place to eat, no matter where I stopped and I put it in park, when I got in the car to leave, I felt like a guy in a witness protection program that's just starting his car with bated breath, because I was afraid that this would be the time where that didn't work. Like I almost wanted to tell people, hey, stand back, stay away from the car. I just don't know what's going to happen. Just stay away and just say, oh God, okay, cool. I was literally afraid that that one time I was going to have the car started, I was going to stick the screwdriver in the slot, and the slot was not going to move it. It was just that it wasn't going to work. But I made it all the way.
Did you have to keep a ready supply of bobby pins?
No,
sticking the whole duct tape.
Yeah, I was going to try to jerry-rig something.
You always
but I
have
just
to go
had
full
a,
MacGyver, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that was my ordeal. But man, I was like a petulant child. Like I mean, my wife will even tell you, I was like a stressed out little kid. Because I was on the phone.
Home, I'm going to live
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's
forever.
Exactly right. Oh, right. That was the over exaggeration and the hyperbole that comes when you're like lost your mind, and you're not thinking clearly. Like literally, like I'm never getting home. I'm going to sleep on the street. I'm probably going to be dead in the morning. Like little things. My wife was like, shut up.
I'm
going to get your hotel.
Selling the car. I'm going to leave it here. You don't even need a car.
My wife is like, you just used Uber. You can Uber to a hotel. Like what the hell's wrong with you? Like just calm the hell down. And I'm just screaming on the other end.
Can't
your stupid
Uber.
Car. I can't take you.
Uber's
closed tonight. I mean, literally I was losing my mind over this stupid repair. So I drove home, and I, basically had to apologize for acting like a baby.
There should be some sort of modification. $125 for 30 seconds of someone's time, that's a bit much. There should be like a clause in there, like, you know, like back in the day, if somebody didn't deliver your pizza in 30 minutes or less, you got it free.
Right.
They should have the flip side and said, hey, If it's nothing major, you know, normally we charge $125, but if he's in and out of there in 5 minutes, I'm going to cut it in half.
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping, because my thought was, I know you have to bring the tow truck, but if you hear me say I can't get the shifter out of park, maybe you have you could just drive out and see if it works. And then call dispatch again and say, all right, send the tow truck. Hey man, it's going to be an extra half an hour. It's going to be 125. It's going to be 20 for my time here to look at it for 2 seconds, but it's going to be extra 125. I'll give you the option. Bought a tow truck. He couldn't use it. It was 125. I had to pay it. And he took 30 seconds to fix my car.
That's a lot of gas money for 125.
Yes, exactly. It's unbelievable. It's crazy.
And I guess you're probably paying after-hour fees as well. They probably had that surcharge.
Yeah, that was probably added to the mix.
You know, $25 extra dollars because it was after midnight.
And here's the deal. He knew my hysterical nature. He was probably thinking, oh, I could probably get $400 out of this guy. He's not even going to think clearly enough to call another tow company.
Yeah, I heard him calling his wife, and I'm 5 miles away.
Crying like a child.
His wife just
called.
He's
like, never going to get home.
His wife just called me and said, yes, he's a little upset. Can you come out there and help him? Oh, and we can help him.
He's easy to recognize because he's wearing the gigantic diaper and pacifier in his mouth. Baby.
How many credit cards does he have on him right now,
exactly.
Ma'am?
Oh, ma'am. How much available credit does he have? We'll just tack everything. We'll just take it all.
Well, at least you didn't fall into that trap. Like, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah, no, no, no.
Respond, how
no,
much
no,
you got?
No. I didn't. Yeah. No. I can only imagine how that covers. My wife get home. How much did you spend? $4,000. She'd go crazy.
What'd they have to do? You just had a MacGyver, a bobby pin into the shifter so it'd work.
So at one point, my wife went, I'm really sorry my car broke down. I was like, I don't know. Why are you? I was like, I guess I blamed you for that for no reason whatsoever.
Well, you had said early on that if a major storm was to come and hit you while you hit your house while you were gone, it was going to be your fault that
exactly.
God intervened with the storm. So why not let it be her fault that she went and got her car?
That's very true. That's so very true. All right. So that was my experience this weekend, not only with Uber, but also with the fact that my car was not quite broke down, but I made it out to be. Like, I acted like I was in a Daytona wreck. Well, I lost the front panel and the two tires went way on my side, and I lost the camber and the shifter gear don't work, and then all of a sudden the gas tank blew up. Like, I was literally like, all it was the guy's like, yeah, just stick this pin in there, you'll be good.
You get any free fries out of the deal?
I did. Holy cow. Holy cow, I did. Oh,
they gotta give
my
you a
God.
Little something.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I ate. They let me come in and eat. And they said, look, we're closed, but come in and eat. Finish your meal. Slow down. We'll get this fixed. Don't worry. We're here for you. I was like, great. And then as I was eating, this woman came over and she had a bag and she goes, I just made you some hot fries because I'm assuming those ones in the bag are cold. I was like, my God, thank you. She was very, very nice. Everybody there was great. I kept them from going home to their families, but nevertheless, it was still good. So that was my trip this weekend. All right, 800-777-2907. Tony D. Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, by the way, Ron, who is from Southern California, boy, that Manny Machado thing is really working out nicely, isn't it? Only one weekend, but already it looks like great, like a great move.
Yeah,
for the Dodgers.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm talking to my mom last night because, you know, my family's in Southern California visiting her. And we get into talking baseball, and she was going on, complaining to me that, you know, ever since they came out, she hasn't been to watch Dodgers at all. I'm like, they've been there one day. You missed one game.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was talking about how, you know, Justin Turner, she's a big Justin Turner fan. You know, Yasiel Puig, she's a big Puig fan. And I said, well, you got to start becoming a fan of Manny Machado. And she's like, oh, that was a great thing.
Yeah,
although,
right.
Although, you know, the other day he had a bad game. I'm like, what, like his second game? I guess he went 0-for in the second game. Like, dude, it's just like, yeah.
How many? He's got like, he had like two home runs in the series, didn't he?
I don't know.
Two or three home runs in the
series.
He's doing good.
You got to remember that baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. He's going to have a bad day where he doesn't get any hits. You can't expect him to just all of a sudden whip off a Joe DiMaggio hitting streak just because he changed teams.
Yeah, I read a very nice moving piece on Machado when he got the word that he was going to the Dodgers, and he was in the clubhouse at Camden Yards and he was crying, and you know, he's like, ah, but they're also, I mean, as much as you spend with a company and people, and it's really like the relationship you have, what a relief to go from a team that crappy to a team that's in first place and is potentially going to win the National League. I mean, you've got to be, secretly, you have to be elated. It's like you don't want to admit that you're elated because you have these emotions. It's like when you leave Company A for Company B, it's a better opportunity. You don't want to brag about it, or you don't want to show off about it. You want to be sad because people are sad you're leaving, so you want to be sad with them. But at the same time, he's got to be elated that he's going to Los Angeles. Are you kidding? He's going to go play for Magic. LeBron's in town. The Dodgers are good. They're 11 games over 500. They lead the division. They're the defending NL champs. This is great. I'd be thrilled.
And for him, too, there's a bigger Hispanic community guaranteed in L.A. as opposed to Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So he's going to be more revered as a god there than he would ever have been in Baltimore.
No kidding.
Community is going to eat him up.
Coming up next, another Mets thing that I got to get to. And Aaron Judge said something interesting about the home run derby that I think is kind of negative, even though it was presented as a positive. We'll explain all of that coming up next hour. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.